Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child can understand me. And Lord, if you give me a word of knowledge to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I do want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, remind me today, you look at all of us today, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher of your word. I'm under a greater judgment than anybody here, strict judgment, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. It's good to see you all here. We're finishing out our series of who I am, and the fact of asking the question of who am I and my identity of Christ. Today we're going to be bringing a lot of things down together. We're ending it with focusing the last Sunday service and this one on my significance in Christ. Last Sunday we handled I am significant, I am salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine. I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. During the Lent season, we're giving you an opportunity to bear fruit and ways of which you can be able to do that. Today, we're going to be still in our significance in Christ. I'm Christ's personal witness. I am a minister of reconciliation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we deal with I am Christ's personal witness, the verse I'm going to be using is Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, we start talking about witnessing people shut down. You just shut down. I get it. I've been there. You're going to hear, I can't. You're just going to start saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I want to be really, really honest with you. I am horrible at just what I call cold turkey evangelism. I'm just horrible at going up to a home I don't know, just knocking on a door. It's tough for me. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm very relational. You know that. I'm a sower. There's really, in the kingdom, is really the pictures of reapers and sowers, and one's not greater than the other. But I'm a sower. I'm just constantly throwing seed out there, you know. I'm just constantly doing that. That's who I am. I think that's who he's called me to be. But when we talk about witnessing, we'll shut down. And there's two things I want to bring out to you today that's going to help you with relief, hopefully. And that is, we're not asking you to witness under your power. We're asking you to witness under his. And the two distinct things that you and I have to pay attention to, and that is, we are giving power to witness. And not only that, you're going to receive power, and you're going to get it from the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get it from my cheerleading you. You're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from the Holy Spirit. I can't just, now can I, pun intended, can I rev you up? Yes. Pun intended. Are y'all just a little slow or y'all with me? You got it? All right, good. I can rev you up, get you excited, all that. But that's not going to motivate you to be a witness. What the two things you have to rely on is that to be his witness, he's going to give us power. It won't come from us. It won't come from anybody else that's just living on the planet. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be his witnesses. The word witness is actually the word martyr. And it means that you're willing to die for what you have experienced. I know I have experiences with the Lord. You're going to say, I expect you, Jeff, to do that. You're the preacher. Has nothing to do with that. Absolutely has nothing to do with that. I've had experiences with Christ that are so life-changing in my life. Just so unbelievably life-changing. And you can't take them away from me. Care how hard you try, you can't do it. They're mine, they're ours. And I can speak confidently on those because they match Scripture. And not only that, I can speak confidently about it. He gives me the power to be able to speak to that. You're going to go, hey, Jeff, it's easy for you to witness. I've got a lot of years of experience in this. But I don't rely on experience. I rely on the Holy Spirit and I rely on the Holy Spirit giving me power. Okay? So none of us are really good at it in our flesh. It becomes a timely issue. And the timely issue is the Holy Spirit, not only does he give you the power to witness, but he gives you the plan to witness. That's here. And a lot of you all know this. Acts 1:8 is a model for us missionally. And Jerusalem would be the Lawrenceburg-Frankfort area. That would be us. Judea would be our state, the state of Kentucky. Samaria would be the rest of the United States. And then obviously, internationally, it's the ends of the earth. And you need to be knowing that you're touching these. You remember when Justin was here from Sparrow Missions, and they're out of our church, located in Honduras, but they're sending missionaries to India. And you support Sparrow Missions monthly, and you support Sparrow Missions two or three different times a year with our dollar offerings. And then here we are, we sent three families from here to Honduras, and then their ministry is going, and now they're sending people from Honduras to India. I mean, it's the plan. Not only, you've got to trust the Holy Spirit for the power, and you've got to trust the Holy Spirit for the plan, but the witness is between me and the Lord. It is what he has done. It's what he has revealed. It's how he has shown himself to us. And you're going, hey, Jeff, I don't have the stories you have. And you're going to say, again, it's because I'm a preacher. No, during Lent, I'm giving you incredible opportunity for you to exit out of the world, spend some time with him, and have your own stories. That's really what it's about. And you have, if you're going to have your own stories, you have to have an intentional life of making sure you're connected to Christ. But when it comes to the witness aspect of it, it is the fact that the Holy Spirit gives me power. It's not just with my born-with personality. Well, he's charismatic. He's outgoing. You know, he's that. Well, no, it has nothing to do with that. It is the Holy Spirit gives you the power and the plan, and he'll lead you. That's what we're trying to get you to do with the Hope Arrow. Over and over, and that is follow the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is telling you to bless some people during the Lent service, pay very clear attention to who it is. And then we're on the front end, we want to know, why is he choosing them? You've got to stop that. You don't have to know the why. Just be obedient to that. And then just be able to bless them. I hope you're able to see that. When we get into this realm of our life, following the Holy Spirit, letting him give us power. Power also, there's a plan. There's very intentional places for that he wants us to go. And we have to understand, this is a picture. You remember when we started the series? We started the first sermon off with, you've got to live from a soul perspective versus a flesh perspective. And this is a picture of living with a soul perspective. It is very important. Once you come to Christ, we're going to talk about transfer a little more here in a moment. But I'm living under, I view the whole world from a soul perspective, not just a flesh perspective. Let me show you what I mean by this. Luke 12:15. Now you're going to think this has nothing to do with witness, but just hang on. He told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed. Let's just stop there. Some of you are already running ahead of me. Just put the brakes on. Greed is concerned with who? You. Greed is concerned with you. That's a fleshy, worldly perspective. In other words, I can tell you during Lent to go bless other people, and you'll have a sub-thought going, well, who's going to bless me? Well, the sub-thought is, you got to let him bless you. He's going to take care of you who bless other people. You just got to trust that. You got to figure it out, but you got to trust that. And greed is concerned about nothing but me, absolutely nothing but me. And he says, guard against it. Why do you guard against it? Because greed doesn't think of anybody else but you, period. You and I know people that have friendships only because of what that person can do for them. It's not because of what their friendship can mean together. So he says, guard against all manners of greed. Because if you don't do that, you're never going to get blessing other people. You're never going to get it. Because one's life is not in the abundance of their possessions. And we do that. We do that. Now, ladies, I'm going to tell you about your husband a little bit, okay? And is this true all 100%? It isn't. But I've said it before, and I did it yesterday, so I've got to talk about it. You know how you go past these businesses that have outbuildings already pre-built? And I'd look back there. First thing I do is look and see if they have any shooting houses back there. I'm just a country preacher, okay? Second thing, there's that building, that outbuilding that looks like a little house that's got a front porch on it. Guys, you with me? Nod with me, guys. You with me? Most guys I know have thought, I could live in that thing. Wood stove. I mean, if a guy had his own house, there wouldn't be any walls, everything, it would just be there, you know? It'd just be right there. And I have connived how I could live in one of those things. But still, we've got to watch with possessions. I know there's in us, and I brought that up to say there's a simple life to us, but the way the world keeps score, is your net worth and your financial net worth. And that's the way the flesh keeps score, is your financial net worth and how much stuff you have. And the Lord tells us, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because if you're greedy, you're not even going to think about blessing anybody during Lent. I promise you. Be on guard. And he can handle the greed situation. Only he can make a greedy heart generous. Only he can do that. But you have to intentionally seek him out for that to occur. And the picture of this is you're not going to be a witness. You're not going to care about other people. You're not going to be generous toward them if you're greedy. Our church early on, we were mobile. Not everybody here remembers this. And it's what I said earlier in our prayer. We were mobile. We were saving money for our own building. This church comes up in Winchester that we're connected with. They're a church plant too. And they needed help. Somehow we got connected with them. We listened to their story. And you may think it's foolish. You may think it's foolish that we had saved several thousand dollars and just wrote them the check, whatever we had. And I'm going to tell you, that's Charles Humston, who's now in glory. Charles, in one of our board meetings, just said to me, he said, you know what we've got to do. I said, yeah, but I don't have to like it, do I? I was like, I mean, we've been mobile, our people being worn out, unloading and loading and all the stuff in between. And I love that about this church. I love that. I love that Charles challenged me on being generous, and then we just wrote them the check and forgot about it, started all over. I'm glad we're not a greedy church. There are times that we're helping other people with things, and our things are in the weight of being fixed or whatever. But you know what? I'm proud of that. I don't want us to be a greedy church. I want us to be a sending and a giving church when it comes to being in the kingdom. My point is, we can't do it with a greedy attitude. It's got to change. When it comes to this is a soul perspective. A soul perspective is on guard of greed. Why? Because a soul is caring about other people, absolutely caring about them, and investing in anything it does to be able to bring them to come to Christ. My soul is settled. You all hear me? That's really what it means by being saved. My soul is settled. It's not restless anymore. I'm not looking for some new thing in my life. It is settled. It is settled with the one who gave it to me. And I came to it through his son, Jesus, who he sent for me. I know who my soul belongs to now, and I know where my true home is. And from a soul perspective, you're going to get this perspective, which is Proverbs 11:30. In Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but violence takes life. It is a picture that our work is in a picture of righteousness, and it is a picture of those who save souls are wise. It is a picture on the soul. A lot of our restlessness that we have in our life today is absolutely not because our flesh is restless, it's because our soul is restless. It hasn't found its home, and our home is in the Lord. So when you are Christ's personal witness, you are that. You've got the Holy Spirit who's given you power and opportunity, which is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the world. And what happens with us is our soul care is getting urgent care. That's really what I'm asking you to do during Lent. I'm asking you during the Lent season to give your soul the urgent care that it needs. Second thing of significance is not only are we a personal witness, is I am a minister of reconciliation. These are some favorite verses of mine. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Let me read it to you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Look, new things have come. Everything is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. Did you see that? It didn't say it gave ordained preachers the ministry of reconciliation. It said it gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have that. Let's look at the next verses. That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to who? To us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I want you to see back in the first verse, Greg, if you go back to the first verse. You remember through this series we talked about there's been a theology of transfer, and that is from darkness to light, from darkness to the kingdom of the Son that he loves, from the law of sin and death to the law of the Spirit of life. There's just been this transfer we've been seeing. It still continues. Do you see it here? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, do you see this? I've gone from being an old... And I gotta say this. When I see this here, I gotta be honest with you. Ernest T. Bass on Andy Griffith, I ain't no creature. You remember? You know, I ain't no creature. So I go, sorry about that, I just had to share that with you. I was an old creature. Right? And now I've become a new creature. You see the transfer? You see the transfer from old to new? Thank God for Ernest T., right? Yeah. You see the transfer from old to new? I'm no longer what I used to be. I'm no longer under the sin of law of death and sin, or the law of sin and death. I'm now under the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ. And the transfer picture keeps on coming to us. It is old to new. Let me tell you something today. And let me be a minister of reconciliation. You don't have to live that unfaithful life. You don't have to live in that old life that is so condemning to you. And the enemy's going to tell you that Jesus will be condemning to you. And I want to tell you that he never will. Now, will the Holy Spirit convict us of where we are and where we need to be? Of course, and we want him to. But Jesus is never going to speak down to his creation. And you're going, I go here a lot, Ezekiel. It says Jesus doesn't even take delight in the death of the wicked. Now, you could say, I want my Jesus to just prefer a certain group of people, but I love it the fact that Jesus loves all of us. It doesn't mean all of us come to him, but he loves us all. And I am thankful that he loved me. I was that kid you didn't want in your Sunday school class, your VBS class. You didn't want in your youth group. I was that kid. If you're thinking about that kin of that kid and you're going to some church activity and you go, they're going to be there. I was that. I'm going to be there. I was a horrible kid. I told you, Tom's Visitation. Dennis and Connie Stearman, who are dear to our family, know me since I was 7 years old. Tom, our visitation for our son-in-law was right here at this altar where I'm standing. They came here. They paid their condolences. Connie Stearman looked at me and she says, I still can't believe you're a preacher. And I said, neither can I, Connie. Neither can I. She goes, you were the meanest kid I have ever known in my life. And I said, I know, Connie. I know. And I was. I was mean. I was a mean kid. That kid in school right now that you've got a big question mark on, I was that kid. I'm not lying to you. I was that kid. And my point is, where other folk gave up on me, he never did. He never did. He's continually calling me to himself. Continually calling me to himself. Julie and I were around some people yesterday, and this one little kid tried to trick me with something. And I figured it out. And he goes, how come I couldn't trick you? And Julie says, because he's already done it, you know, out loud. So it's really true. My point in that is, hey, he's calling us all home, right? And home is with him. I'm not just talking about eternity in heaven. I am talking about that too. But I thank God that there's an old creature, Jeff. Because now, the reason I can say that is because there's a new creature, Jeff. Right? And only he can do that. He makes that beautiful transfer from old to new. And he does that well, and that's what our ministry of reconciliation is. That's really what our witness is. You don't have to live in that. And the only reason you're living in the past under the old creature is because you're choosing to. That's it. He has given you and offered you, and we plead with you, a brand new life of restoration. And here's the beauty of it. You know, not only in this series have we talked about the theology of transfer from old to new, from darkness to light. We have talked about separation. And you have to understand, folks, I want to wake you up. I want to lovingly grab you by the shirt collar and just shake you a little bit. There is a plan today from the enemy. The hounds of hell will huddle together on how they can separate me and you from Christ himself. You need to understand that. You're going, oh, no, 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 they just do the preachers in the minute. No, 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 no. Don't think a football team is the first group who learned how to huddle and come together with a plan to separate you from the very person of Christ. And I'm telling you, it is a scheme and a plan. You're going to tell me, oh, it's just life and the busyness and the way life is. I'm telling you, there is a dark old scheme and plan in place that is going to be able to separate you from the Lord in all kinds of ways. It's going to look like it's fulfilling and fun and all kinds, but I'm telling you, underlying, there's an undertow that is looking to pull you apart. And the beauty of all this is the ministry of reconciliation goes against the works of the enemy. Because he's looking to pull apart, and we, who are now in the kingdom, what are we doing? We're working to bring everything together. We're looking to bring everything out of separation and into a beautiful picture of kingdom unity and harmony for every bit of us. So that makes us Christ ambassadors. It says that at the very end, in verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? I become his official representative. And you're going to say, well, you're the preacher. That's why you're here. No, That's really what I'm trying to get you to do, and you're probably getting mad at me. That's what the Hope Arrow is all about. Why are we doing that? Have spiritual conversations, the O, open up the scriptures, predominantly the gospels, the P, pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's got the power and the plan. Hallelujah. I could preach that Hope Arrow, all right? Eat with people. Know that you are sent. Why am I doing that? Because this will help you to be his official representative, his ambassador. This is a tool for you to be Christ's personal witness when it comes to your life. And that's who we are. We are not part of the division anymore. We are part of the bringing together. The enemy is separating. Christ is bringing them together, and we have joined him. That's what makes us significant. He has asked us to join him in this work, and it really is a ministry of reconciliation. Lastly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really believe this one is used out of context. It's in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I believe this is used out of context probably more than any verse in Scripture. I want to give you the context. Paul says, I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. So no matter what he was in, he didn't complain. And the reason he didn't complain is he knew who his source was. That's why he didn't complain. I know both how to have a little. It comes to food, whatever, shelter. And I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And everybody, sports heroes, and everybody, let me tell you something. You can't not be in a gym and walk in a gym and claim this verse and bench 500 pounds. Y'all understand? It's not going to happen. And a lot of people take this verse and they want to be something they're not. And they're saying, well, I can be this because Christ is going to strengthen me. Here's the picture of this whole verse that's very important. And it's just real simple. Wherever we are in life, God will give us the strength to get through. If I've got plenty or if I'm in great need, Where do I get my strength? I get my strength from him. I've not kept it a secret from you. Right now, our family, and I'm just going to tap you into a preacher's life a little bit. You know our son-in-law passed away. His birthday is fastly approaching. We just got out of the holiday seasons. For all of us who've lost a loved one, our grief is tough during the holidays. Sherry, I've still got your bottle of tears that you've given me that are near me and the scripture with that. Are we better? Sure, we're better. Then Charles dies in August like a dad to me. Mama Lou dies in September like a mom to me. Pillars of this church. Gail Littlen, Charles's wife, like another mom to me, passes away. There's Brian Perry passing away. Tomorrow will be 6 funerals in just a matter of 9 days. And you have to understand, I love Leah too. I love Jimmy and Candy. I love Jimmy's family. And that all comes, so I'm in a season of grief. And you don't know a preacher's life other than the preacher's kids who are here. Only do you get it. And we grieve too. We cry alone sometimes because the grief is so heavy. So how do I get through this? It's because of this verse. In a season of grief, God gives me strength to even talk about Tom. He gives me strength. Not that I can walk in down to some gym and say, I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to tattoo this on my head and I'm going to bench 500 pounds. That's not it. It's God gives you strength. And this goes exactly where we need to. Back to being Christ's witness, back to being his ambassador. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to witness, to pull things together for people through the power of God. You just need to know as you even go through this Lent season, God is going to give you the strength to be able to do it. As you do Lent for 40 days, whatever it is or luxury you're giving up, whatever plan you had of fasting, being generous and praying and replacing all that in prayer and meditation and focus on the scriptures, whatever it is, God's going to give you the strength. Whatever you're going through, God's going to give you the strength. Why? He is the source of my life. He is the source of my well-being. He is the source of my power. He is the source. No conference is going to give that to you. No great spiritual cheerleader is going to give that to you. Only through Christ and His Holy Spirit do you and I have the strength to be what we need to be. See it. You think it's some infomercial? You think it's from eating turmeric? Or it's whatever you want to do. You hear me? Where? Look, let me hang on with you. Okay, this. Hang on, man. Alicia Boland goes to our church, and she works in our daycare. And I knew Alicia because I'm from Camelsville in Greensburg area, and I knew her parents. And Alicia's mother, Mary Linda, died young with a brain tumor, cancer. And I was at her funeral. Alicia's grandparents about half raised me. And one of the daughters is a vet in Midway. And so we stay in contact. Well, Miss Lucille, the matriarch of the family, she just turned 98 years old. And her birthday was this last week. So I was at a funeral in Northern Kentucky. I came back down, worked my way through Midway, and dropped in to see her at her daughter's house. And she was there by herself, one of the strongest women I've ever met in my life. I mean that. And milk cows, fixed breakfast, was on church on time. You understand? Sunday school on time. I never will forget, her husband, Doyle, went to sleep one morning in between Sunday school and church. Went to sleep at his chair, his pew, and my dad called on him for the invocation prayer, which means we're starting the service. And Doyle got up and prayed, "Lord, thank you for the sermon we heard today." And he thought it was the benediction, you know. I'll never forget that as long as I live. You know, which meant he hadn't heard a sermon that day, unless it was one in his head. And Doyle's going on to be with the Lord. But Miss Lucille is 98 years old. Now, she's not on the farm anymore, and I know her farm well. But just a few years back, she was, and she's legally blind, and she would still drive on the farm. Now, I don't mean on the main road. And she'd hit things, and we'd say, "You're tearing up your truck." She says, "It's okay. It's my truck, so it doesn't matter," you know. So Miss Lucille's not driving, obviously, now at 98. And so she wasn't real coherent. And I said, "Miss Lucille," I said, "do you know who I am?" She said, "No, not right off, but give me a minute." And I said, "Do you know the preachers at your church?" And she mentioned Brother Hammett. And I said, "There's another preacher that followed Brother Hammett. Do you remember him?" "No, I can't remember him." And finally, she said, "Well, there's this one favorite preacher we had." And I said, "Well, who was that?" She goes, "It was Brother Eaton." And I said, "Well, Miss Lucille, that was my dad." She goes, "Jeff, you came to see me?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Are you a good preacher?" And I said, I don't know. I don't know, Lucille, if I am or not. And I said, this is how straight she is. She said to me, she said, "I'd have to hear you." And she goes, "I hope I can tell you you do a good job," she said. "Because if I didn't, she would let me know." I want to tell you, something. When I see I look back and I know their life well, and I know how their life influenced ours and even your pastor today. And my point is, I just see a picture of strength all the way through their life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a constant presence of strength. T, I could say that about you, sweetheart. I mean, from being a little girl, I see a constant picture of strength in your life all the way through. And that's who He is. He wants to be that. It's not this trumped up spiritual cheerleading party of just revving me up until my wheel wants to go. It's where even the quietness of my life, where do I get the strength to go on? I get it from Christ himself. And that same strength is through the Holy Spirit to empower you to be that witness and that ambassador for him. So during this Lenten season, rely on him. There's transformation here. Am I asking you to become more active? Absolutely. Quit looking to the professional ministry group of doing it for you. Bill Draper, do you say amen to that? He's a chaplain that goes all over the world with our military. We look at it to the fact of we want to hire this great, big, incredible team, you know, and let them do, and we'll just support them and let them do the work. Guys, that is not the plan of God. I don't care what church you come from or you go to. God's plan is to activate you. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You are the ministers of reconciliation. You are the witnesses. But how do I get that? It is through the personal power of the Holy Spirit and of Christ himself that we make it. Amen? And the fact that he gives that to you makes you significant. The fact that he gives you the power to avoid temptation, you're able to see it and dodge it. God gives you the power to be able to do that. I was leaving Miss Lucille's yesterday. Not yesterday, it was Friday. And she and my mom were really close, okay? Now you're going to, don't think Jeff is dabbling with the supernatural here, all right? My mom's birthday and Miss Lucille's birthday were pretty close together. Pretty close together. Just a few days in February. My mom's the 9th, and then Miss Lucille's was this last week. So we had talked about my mom, and my mom loved each other deeply. And I left there. My mom died at 91. Miss Lucille is still going at 98. I got in my car, and my phone, I left it in the car. And you know how this happens. I've never taken Tom's phone number out of my phone. It's still there. And I've never taken my mom's out. And we had just been talking about my mom. I got in the truck and I just moved my phone. It started calling my mom's phone number. Now we can get into I just laughed. I didn't get into some great epiphany. Like I'm going to build a building in their driveway that memorialize my mom. You know, I didn't get into all that. I didn't get into na 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 na. I didn't go there either. I stopped it from calling. I had a pleasant memory of the strength of the Lord in my mom, a great friendship with Miss Lucille. My mom's in heaven. She has her reward. Lucille's going to get hers too. It's going to be great. There's just this moment in the presence of the Lord. Not that I've got to get some psychic and figure out what my mom was trying to tell me. Right? It's just, I sat there in the moment and realized God has always been our source and God has always been our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for earthly friendships that are eternal. Just thank you for your source of strength and hope and love. Amen? Amen? That's where we get it. I hope you walk with that today. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. Whatever season they're going through, Lord, it could be a great season of plenty where they thought that they've done it all. Remind them that it's your blessing. If it's a great season of need, remind them that you were there to strengthen them and to support. Today, may we walk out of here, enter this season of remembering your fast. You did that for us. You did that even there to defeat the enemy. You did it in the establishment, in the picture of your relationship with the Father. Lord, help us. Strengthen us. We know that our source of life and our source of strength and even the power to be the witness and the ambassador for you comes from you. And we receive that today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is this. Come and surrender to Him today. He is humble and He is gentle. And He's here to receive you today. Come. There'll be people here in the altar to minister to you. If you're here and you're a member of another church, that's okay with us as a believer. We invite you to the table. We invite you to communion. The bread represents His body given. The drink represents His blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink. And before you eat it and consume it, remember His sacrifice. Thank you for His sacrifice, and thank you for the source of strength and life that He is. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot. Chad's going to lead us.